Are you prepared to navigate today's bond markets for your clients? With decades of experience, MFS has helped advisors uncover fixed income investment opportunities through volatile markets. Learn more at MFS.com.
Take the bass line out.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hardwood Knox Podcast. My name is Dan Favalli, coming at you with my super duper, incredibly esteemed, awesome times awesome, fantabulous, spectaculario, crestfallen that Nikola Jokic is no longer leading the NBA in box plus minus, co-host Andrew D. Bailey. Before we get started today, and we're going to have a relatively quick pod for you, spoilers, but before we get started, I just want to continue reminding everyone to please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, review us. It's the best way you can help out the pod at the moment. Also the best way to let us know that you're listening, that you want us to continue keep delivering these crappy basketball takes. We really appreciate when we see those numbers come up. Tell your friends, families, frenemies, enemies, people you think will like great basketball takes mixed with a little bit insanity and stupidity. Really, we're just trying to make sure that our community continues to expand. You guys are awesome, and we always love hearing from you. But again, please take the 10 to 15 seconds out of your day to put Hardwood Knox into iTunes. Give us that 5-star review. Give us a 2-star review at this point. I don't really care, but just be sure to leave some feedback as to why in the comment section. We just want to know that you're listening. We are also on Spotify and everywhere else that you consume your podcasts. Before we get going with a Jimmy Butler to the Houston Rockets trade scenarios slash rumor breakdown, whatever the hell we're doing right now, we have to ask, though, because the people, they need to know. Andy, how are you doing?
Doing great, despite what a lot of random people on Twitter think. While the Nuggets lead was slipping away last night, I was getting so many mentions. Your boy is trash, stuff like that. It's always fun.
I mean, listen, Nikola Jokic is basically just Jason Smith, so it's time that you accept it.
I know. Last night's performance convinced me. Or I should say 3 minutes of last night's performance convinced me. I'm done.
He didn't even have a bad game in that loss to the Lakers. The Nuggets missed a bunch of shots. We were talking about it in our text box. I have no idea what Paul Millsap was doing down the stretch. Jamal Murray continues to be weird. I am not backing off my Nikola Jokic will be a top three MVP candidate take.
And I don't think you should, at least not based on last night.
So we're here because Woj dropped. It was obviously the deal hasn't gone through, but I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was getting my haircut at the time when he dropped this and said that the Rockets are making a renewed bid to acquire Minnesota Timberwolves all-star Jimmy Butler, including 4 future first-round picks in their most recent offer. On top of that reporting, Jeff Zilgit of USA Today tweeted, "I see the jokes about the protection on those first-round picks being offered to the Timberwolves, but I'm hearing that not every pick has outrageous protections. Let's see how it shakes out." They can't really have outrageous protections because the Stepien rule only lets you trade picks every other year in advance, essentially, and only up to 7 years in advance. So they can't trade beyond a 2025 first rounder right now. And unless you're going to have, if you lottery protect 2021's pick, but then you're in the lottery. It doesn't work out like that. So you would basically be trading unless there's something installed where it turns into a second rounder, or you're basically giving away your 2019, 2021, 2023, and 2025 first round picks. And that's to say nothing of the players involved, which we'll have to get to in a second. And the last thing, you pointed this out to me before we started recording because I didn't see it, John Krasinski from The Athletic, still no indication that the Wolves are close to saying yes to any offers. Things can change quickly, of course, but Wolves have been holding firm, and that hasn't changed, which, if Tom Thibodeau is still running the negotiations, that's not a surprise, though from Woj's reporting, and you don't necessarily know where he's getting his intel from, it did seem like the Timberwolves and the Rockets were at least kind of negotiating or having a consistent dialogue. So I'm just going to throw it to you. I want to know what your initial impression was when you saw this report, and then kind of now that it's been 12 hours, 15 hours, what you think of it.
Well, my initial impression, I don't know if you saw what I said about it, was...
I see everything you say, Andy.
once you have a little bit of a sample size on the Carmelo Anthony, Michael Carter Williams experiment, this is where your mind goes. Desperation trade offers.
That's soon to be a starter against the Clippers, Carmelo Anthony. To you, thank you very much.
Yeah. Who knows what they'll do if and when this goes down. But yeah, that was my first thought. And then I instantly went to the trade machine and was trying to figure out what players can actually get this deal done. And I threw out Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker just because it was the easiest salary match. But I got some pretty quick and intense pushback from Rockets fans who insisted that they knew the thinking of Daryl Morey inside and out, and basically told me, there's no chance PJ Tucker gets traded. The salary matching still works if you do Eric Gordon and Nene. Though at that point, I thought, well, I feel like as long as Thibodeau's the one pulling the trigger, the trades are going to be geared towards staying competitive this year, or at least some aspect of them. I think you could talk yourself into the Gordon and Nene thing if the only purpose of doing the deal was the four first round picks. And I think a lot of front offices would approach this situation that way. It doesn't look like Tom Thibodeau is one of those types of front offices. Now we get into the issue that's been in place with this since the start is this Thibodeau, or is it the owner, Glenn Taylor, who's pulling the strings here? I still don't know. I don't think anybody knows who's pulling the strings. But anyway, if it's a purely rebuilding trade, I think you could just match with whatever and just get the four first round picks. But if Thibodeau wants to stay competitive, he may be insisting on two rotation players plus that crazy haul of picks. So I guess my thoughts are kind of all over the place at this point. The Krasinski tweet also stood out to me, the one that you read about. They haven't said yes to anything yet, and that might change. I suppose that could mean that they're just fielding other offers. They go into Miami saying, hey, can you beat this? I don't know, maybe the Clippers, can you beat this? Whatever teams might still be involved. But boy, this when did we record our last podcast? 2 days ago, when one of my hot takes was Jimmy Butler last the season, and then all of a sudden, it's the story in the NBA again.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said about Thibodeau. If you were, and even if you're using foresight from the Timberwolves perspective, like let's say Glenn Taylor comes in and overrules Tibbs, which I feel like eventually might be how this entire thing ends, you're acknowledging that you're probably getting a bottom five first rounder definitely this season, and probably in 2021. And so you're betting on those 2023, 2025 picks being primo assets. And that's assuming that they don't turn into like weird protect. Like, could they be like top three protected? And if it falls in the top three, it turns into a second rounder. So you're gambling that the Rockets might be worse, but they won't be the worst team in the league or something like that. It's just, but four first round picks at the same time for a player who's going to leave, and when you don't really have a lot of cap maneuverability in the coming years, even if you get rid of Jimmy Butler, this is kind of a way to help you over the next half decade or so restock the asset cupboard, get some nice cost controlled assets. You could theoretically also turn around and use those first rounders to acquire players that you want, or maybe you do it to kind of just get salary off the books or something like that. So I honestly don't know what the Timberwolves, Tibbs doesn't accept this package. So it's not a matter of, I don't know if the Timberwolves did end up accepting it. One of two things has happened. Glenn Taylor's gotten involved, or the Rockets have severely overreacted, because like you threw out the Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker trade scenario, which is, that was the most popular package when you were including a first round pick, or if people were getting crazy and including two. If you're the Rockets, even though your first round picks don't hold that much value, I'm not giving up four first round picks and PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon. Maybe you can talk yourself into including Eric Gordon in that deal. I honestly don't know. And something that I've sort of proposed is that maybe you get a team. One of the incentives could be the Timberwolves getting off Jang in this deal. And so maybe you seek out a third team like the Kings that has cap space. I don't know what it takes for them to soak up Jang, especially when they have, you know, Zach Randolph's out of the rotation right now. Kufos is injured, but you have Marvin Bagley still. They like Bielitsa. They've been playing Justin Jackson at the four as well. You have Cauley Stein, Harry Giles as well. So I don't know that it's worth it to the Timberwolves to send two of those first rounders to the Kings. Maybe it can be something like a second rounder and one of those first round picks, and you get off Jang in the process, and that could be something. A deal that I built, very fluid, because it was kind of while you were talking, but I did think about it a little bit when this report first came out, and I know I'm rambling, is what if the Rockets were willing to include Eric Gordon in this deal, and the Kings got involved. So the Kings get Gorgui Jang, the Timberwolves get Eric Gordon, Amon Shumpert, Nene, and Justin Jackson. The Kings would also get Tyus Jones, and then the Rockets get Jimmy Butler, and Sacramento would get one first-round pick to Minnesota's getting three. Basically, Jang, Tyus Jones to the Kings with one first-round pick. The Timberwolves get three firsts, Eric Gordon, Shumpert, Nene, and Justin Jackson, and the Rockets get Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that makes sense. If Minnesota can figure, like, I guess ultimately they're just trying to get out from underneath Gorgui Jang's salary in that case. That would certainly help.
Gordon makes, I would rather have Tyus Jones than Derrick Rose, but with those three guard lineups, Gordon makes a little bit more sense than having actually 3 point guards on the floor. Like,
yeah, that's true too. And he's a little bit undersized, but I think he's a strong, like 6'4", whatever he is.
And Amon Shumpert, 22 PER this year.
Yeah, he's up to a good start, interestingly enough. Yeah, I don't mind that deal.
The Kings might. Just so many bigs, but maybe you can buy out Kufos and Randolph and just be done with it.
I don't know how they're thinking, but they're not in a position to really care about fit right now.
Right.
They're going to be good for a few years. I put this poll up on Twitter yesterday as I was sort of rambling off my reaction to this report, and I'm going to see if I can track it down. Okay.
I'm ready.
Let's say it is Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker and four first round picks, which is
Jesus Christ. I'm not laughing at you. That would just be like,
I know, it's a huge offer. And I guess what I was thinking too was, from Houston's perspective, it does sound like a ton. But if you look at what's left on the roster after that, that top four is insane. If you can get anything out of Melo off the bench, I think that's an instant title contender. You still have Nene and Joe Green on the bench. MCW, if you can limit him to like 10 defensive minutes a game, that team is super, super interesting. And I think what they're really probably thinking is, if we've got Jimmy Butler and Chris Paul and James Harden and Clint Capella for at least the first 4 years, so two of those picks, it's not going to be that big of a deal. And they don't really – they haven't – when's the last time Houston really knocked a draft pick out of the park? I guess it would be Clint Capella, which was 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Because they trade big picks all the time.
Yeah, so they don't really build through the draft anyway. Maybe they think they can get – contributors in the second round as likely as they are at the end of the first. So I'm just trying to talk myself through what they might be thinking with this massive offer. There is the potential that those last two picks are decent picks, because at some point it's going to fall off for Chris Paul and James Harden and Jimmy Butler, Paul Butler, and who else am I thinking of? At least those two have fairly significant injury histories, so it could all come tumbling down fairly quickly. But anyway, back to the poll. Let's say it is Gordon, Tucker, and four first rounders, and whatever their reasoning is behind the massive offer, I don't know. The best offer from, let's say they call Miami and say, hey, this is what it is, can you beat it? They offer Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, and I don't know, two picks maybe Which one of those do you take?
If it's PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon and the four firsts?
Right now the poll is 43% are taking the Miami pick package and 57% are taking the Houston package.
If you're telling me all four of those picks are going to convey and that there's not that there's no if it's anything other than the Rockets are the worst team in the league or one of the three worst teams in the league and then they get to keep it and it turns into a second or something like that, I might give it pause. But I would clearly think you'd want to take the Houston offer then, just because you load up your picks that way. You're getting PJ Tucker, who's going to help you defensively, and then Eric Gordon, who can do stuff for you offensively. But I'm looking at it from the Wolves should be evaluating this from a big picture perspective, and maybe that's dumb because they've already paid Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. Here's where I'm at. I don't know for sure which one of those two packages I would take, but Josh Richardson, what is he, 25? Look this up real quick. He's 25 years old. How old is Bam Adebayo? Those are two guys. Bam Adebayo is only 21. Those are two guys that I think you know.
Right.
They may not necessarily be stars, but you know both of those guys are good with the potential to be very good. So maybe you take two known quantities and two guys who I think could be pretty good complementary type players next to Towns. You take the two known quantities and you take two swings with the first round picks, as opposed to two guys who are pretty good right now, but who knows where they'll be in even a year or two in Gordon and Tucker. And then you get four swings, and your swings with the, those Rockets picks, at least the first two I'm guessing are going to be in the 20s.
Right.
So I don't think it's a no brainer between those two offers, and there's no report out there that Miami's even going to try to match this Houston offer. So I'm sure they've been on the phone with somebody from there at some point in the last 12 hours or whatever it's been. But my feeling is somebody can get close to that Houston offer. It'll just be interesting to see if anyone does and if Tibbs will continue to be stubborn. If you have multiple offers that are as good or close to as good as this Houston offer and you don't do it, I wouldn't even know what to say at that point.
Franchise malpractice. And they're verging on that. He's verging on that already. Because I wrote about this the other day. There would be something admirable about the way he's resisted overtures thus far if Jimmy Butler's first trade demand was actually a week before training camp. But the report from John Krasinski over The Athletic, and he's covered this entire saga wonderfully, suggested that Jimmy Butler has been communicating with Tom Thibodeau basically since the very end of last season that he's not happy and wants out. And so you're verging on franchise malpractice already. And to, like you said, if there are offers that rival this or are comparable to what Houston's dangling and you don't accept them, that becomes a real issue because who knows how much longer they're going to be there. Jimmy Butler could play out of his mind, but if you're going to negotiate in bad faith, front offices hold grudges against one another. Mm-hmm. My only thing is it gets really complicated with Miami because the package you said was Adebayo, Richardson, and a first.
Or maybe two firsts. I don't know.
Well, that doesn't even matter. What is the salary filler there? Because Richardson and Bam don't get it done alone, which is why Olynyk was included in so many permutations. And it's like, The Heat could go nuclear once Wayne Ellington comes back and decide to throw Rodney Magruder in there as well. I wouldn't do that. He's been playing spectacular. But even throwing him doesn't get you to the necessarily salary. And so then it becomes just really complicated. Maybe that's where Houston might have an edge because any salary they're sending out, even people who think that it's going to be Brandon Knight and Nene, you know they're expiring deals. If you take on Eric Gordon, you know he only has 2 years left. And do you want to pay Kelly Olynyk for the next 3 years? Good player, but how does he fit with Towns? If you still have Jang on the roster, it just becomes kind of a cluster, you know what, up front. So I'm just not sure. The Heat, if there was a team that was going to really go this drastic route and try and outbid Houston or come close to matching it, it would be Miami, just because of their salary cap situation moving forward. That being said, Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player in the NBA, and we get caught up in how much these guys are making in the end of their contracts. But if he signs a five-year deal where he goes next, you're preparing to pay a 34-year-old Jimmy Butler $43.2 million in that fifth year.
Yeah, and a guy who has Tom Thibodeau minutes under his belt.
And those are a real thing. Like, I don't want to hear that Jimmy Butler didn't play a lot during the beginning of his career. The Thibodeau minutes are a real thing. Just look at what's happened to some of these guys, or all of these guys. My guess would be wherever he goes, he's not getting that five-year deal. It wouldn't surprise me if it ends up being like a three-year something, or maybe a four-year with a team option. Because it depends on, I'm sure there'd be a smaller market that would give Jimmy the full boat of 4 years, but does he want to play in, you know, Phoenix or something like that? What I do find interesting from the Rockets' perspective, and not so much interesting as scary, if, let's say they get Jimmy Butler, and I'm not going to include Eric Gordon or PJ Tucker in these calculations. I'm just going to include Capella, Knight, Harden, and Paul. Assuming they max out Jimmy for next season, they're going to have $132.8 million committed to those four players, which is $800,000 over the projected luxury tax. So right there, your core is putting you past the luxury tax. And
Could you even squeeze enough minimum contracts between that and the hard cap or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, you could. And there's the hard cap isn't going to prevent you from using the minimum contracts. And my projections actually might be a little bit off because I was using the wrong year. But you're still basically in the tax with those three, which is absolutely nuts. It's actually for those four, it comes to in their first year together would be $125.5 million. And so if you kept PJ Tucker, poof, you're at $136 million, $135 million, basically, $134 million. So you're past the luxury tax, and that's your five-player core. And if you do keep Eric Gordon, now you're all of a sudden in $150 million territory just between those six players. So
how do they even do it with keeping Eric Gordon? Have you looked at any packages like that?
Well, you do. I think what helps is you have Brandon. If the Timberwolves just said we want those picks, you could theoretically build something around Brandon Knight's expiring deal. He's actually making more than Eric Gordon this year. And it's not expiring. Excuse me, he has a year left on it. So I don't know why the Timberwolves would do that.
Somebody was tweeting me yesterday, a reporter from NBC, and I thought I should run this by Dan. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it now, unfortunately.
That's fine.
Somebody told me yesterday that there was some weird salary cap rule that made it so they couldn't trade Brandon Knight straight up for Jimmy Butler right now. And I wish I could remember who said that.
Well, there's
seems foreign to me, but I don't.
Well, Brandon Knight straight up wouldn't work for just Jimmy Butler. He can't be traded with another player for 2 months after being acquired, so he technically couldn't be included in a deal that has other players until October 31st. So I don't know if that's what they're referring to. Two-fold questions here. So knowing that that would be the commitment, and next year we're talking about Harden's age 30 season, Butler's age 30 season, and Paul's age 34 season. If you're the Rockets, I know you're going for it now, and I'm assuming their thinking is even if we don't win it this year, there are those rumblings that the Warriors are going to break up, that Kevin Durant could go to New York, that Draymond Green will qualify for the Supermax and the Warriors won't want to give it to him in 2020 or before then, obviously. Maybe they're playing this as it's not going to happen this year. It's going to happen in 2019, 2020, and 2020-21. Are you willing to foot that kind of a bill? Because it's going to be, you're going to have five players that are going to take you past the luxury tax. That's just a given at this point, once you add the fifth into those four. And my second question would be, if you're Minnesota, even if you're planning for the big picture, let's say you're Glenn Taylor, that Thibodeau isn't in the equation, are you accepting a package that gives you no immediate assets? I'm talking you'll get the 2019 first round pick, but I'm talking no tangible body assets. Like, let's say it is Brandon Knight and Nene, or Brandon Knight, Marquis Chris, and they're building something else around smaller deals to get to, I think they need $16.4 million or something to send out to get Jimmy Butler back. Are you willing to just take those four first-round picks and call that your return?
Yeah. I don't know. There's just so many moving parts and pieces here. It was Robert Silverman who sent this to me, by the way, who I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
At Bob Saietta.
Great writer.
Ben Collins from, for some reason, his name won't. He's from NBC News. He says, I think it's Gordon and Knight in the picks for Jimmy. It's still awful for Houston, and I wouldn't do it. And then Robert Silverman responds, doesn't work under the salary cap unless it's a sign-and-trade right now, and I'd be shocked if Butler agreed to an extension. Is that clear to you at all?
No.
Yeah, I didn't double-check it at the time. But that, I just thought that it seems like something I probably should double check.
Well, so the entire thing is that there would have to be, Minnesota would have to send back more salary there because they don't have cap space. I think they're right up against a luxury tax line. I'll check my salary projections.
And I think so. Collins came back and said that he thought they would get Jang. And then I think Silverman rightly points out, I doubt Houston takes on Jang and gives up Gordon and dumps four picks. that's a massive, massive offer.
But yeah, if you are Houston, though, and you can get rid of Brandon Knight, if it's Brandon Knight, Eric Gordon, and you have to take back, if you're able to just take back, again, if the Kings get involved here and they're the ones taking back Jang and that provides you with more some flexibility there, I would absolutely do the deal because Brandon Knight is on the books for next year at $15.6 million. And so to kind of have him off the salary cap, you're losing Eric Gordon, sure, but to have him off the books, that's going to really help you with the tax penalties that you're about to incur.
Be really interesting to see them cobble together a roster if they could get Jimmy Butler to agree to
Trevor
re-sign.
Ariza would be coming back, I feel like. I mean,
did he sign a one-year deal in Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that he's going to get bought out and go back to Houston. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd like to see him go to New Orleans if that happens, though.
Yeah. Oh, he would be awesome there.
Yeah. That's my dream is for the Pelicans to trade for Kyle Korver and get Damari Carroll or Trevor Ariza on the buyout market this season.
Yeah, this all worked out.
I've thought about it. They'd be a contender with Korver and Ariza, or close to it, because they're so close to it as now. They might only even need Ariza.
Even in the Western Conference, there's a good chance they'll have the best player in multiple series.
Would you talk about a digression? Would you again? I laid out the framework of a Kings deal, and I don't necessarily know what it would look like if Brandon Knight's going to be involved. But if you're Minnesota and your return is Eric Gordon, Brandon Knight, and those four first rounders, and let's say you're getting off Jang and he's going to Sacramento, and let's say as a result you're only getting three first rounders, would you do the deal?
I think I probably would, but again, it just comes down to what's their aim. Is it Glenn Taylor and is it forward looking, or is it Tom Thibodeau and is it stubbornness and piecing together a 45 win roster this season? There's so much confusion as to who's in charge right now that it's hard to forecast what the final deal is going to be.
It'd be pretty clear that Tom Thibodeau would not accept that deal, though, correct? This would have to be a situation where Glenn Taylor, and I feel like I've said that too many times, but
I would agree with that, yeah.
If I would do it, too, if I was Minnesota and that was the parameters. But again, you have to get off Jang as part of that deal still. I don't want Brandon Knight and Jang on the books. It's just an additional Wiggins and Towns, because you could make the salaries work if, you know, you have Josh, you're not trading Josh Okogie, but you have Justin Patton you could throw in a salary fraud. There are ways to make it work, but one, I don't want to, if you're the Timberwolves, you don't want to take on salary as part of this deal, even this year.
No.
So yeah. I would be shocked if the offer ever included both Gordon and Tucker in addition to the four first round picks. And I also would be floored if the Rockets don't have to include Eric Gordon in this deal.
Yeah.
If they're able to get away, I would say, or PJ Tucker, I would think there has to be at least one of them in there.
Let's say it does get done in some form or fashion. The top four is Chris Paul, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, and Clint Capella. maybe PJ Tucker, maybe not, but you've still got Melo, Gerald Green, Michael Carter-Williams. Are they instantly a title contender again?
I would think yes, but Jimmy Butler's fit. I mean, if you're worried about Melo and how his ball dominant ways fit in with the Rockets, Jimmy Butler's not this just off-ball savant. I don't think he necessarily cares about the offensive end as much that he'd be content to defend. And we're talking about a very small sample size here, but he's shooting 40% on catch and shoot threes this year, 50% on wide open threes. And when the Rockets are fully healthy with Chris Paul and James Harden, you'd think they'd generate a bunch of high-end open looks. If they're able to keep Tucker and you have Butler and you have James Ennis and Clint Capella, you can do some really awesome things defensively. Chris Paul, too. I don't mean to leave him out there. I would wonder how quickly it would come together getting Butler without having him go through a training camp or preseason with you. At the same time, Houston's offense isn't that complicated. It's still ISO heavy. They're still going to, you know, run those high pick and rolls. I think he would fit there. I don't want to say they would be the foremost threat to the Warriors immediately. I'd still like the Raptors better just because we've seen them probably. I might even like the Celtics better if they ever figure out how to score, but that's a story for a different day. They're not winning the championship this year if they get Jimmy Butler. I think it would take a little too long to come together. And you have to worry about, you know, James Harden has the hamstring injury going on. Chris Paul always seems to get injured towards the end of the season. What is Melo going to be? He scores 22 points off the bench in a loss to the Jazz, but, you know, Houston lost. And Jimmy Butler, too, has a history of injuries. I'd worry about this team breaking down towards the end of the year, which is why if I'm Houston, I would have a little bit of pause about giving up the four first-rounders when you're going to have so much money committed to Butler, Paul, and Harden as they're getting past past their 30th birthdays, and Chris Paul going into his age 34 season. And someone made a joke on Twitter yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, that the blueprint is, if you're Daryl Morey, trade four first-round picks, stay while the first one or two conveys, yeah, and find another job for like $20 million a year or something elsewhere.
Yeah. The combination of age, injuries, and money is definitely I think that would trouble just about any owner or front office, or at least make them pause. I have one last thing. This is box plus minus over the last five seasons, including this one. So since 2014-15, players with at least 5,000 minutes. Number three in box plus minus is James Harden. Number five is Chris Paul. Number 10 is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler over that same span, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a true shooting percentage of 58. The three top 10 players, and Clint Capella, who's very, very good. I probably wouldn't pick them to beat the Warriors, but they would suddenly be interesting to me again. Right now I don't find them all that interesting because I think the drop off defensively that they are currently showing is just huge. Not just the loss of Ariza and Mbam Mute, but the loss of their essentially defensive coordinator in Jeff Bezdelic. To lose all that stuff in the same summer, that's clearly had an impact on them. But if they turn around and a couple weeks into the season get another top 10 player when they've already got, you know, at least two top 10 players, maybe two top five players, depending on how you view Chris Paul. Again,
don't forget Melo.
and a random top 300 player in Melo. The age and the injury stuff is certainly concerning and it could all fall apart pretty quickly. But man, the top of that roster would be very, very scary.
Yeah, and they're going to be major players in the buyout market now. So just think about some of the veterans that could get bought out. What if George Hill gets bought out in Cleveland and decides to go to Houston? That's someone who could help them, particularly if you've traded Eric Gordon and or Brandon Knight.
It'd be very interesting there.
This would be the deal. This is the deal that I built also while you were talking. Just the last thing I'll say before we wrap this up. Houston Rockets receive Jimmy Butler, Kostas Koufos. The Timberwolves receive Brandon Knight Eric Gordon, Shumpert, 3 first round picks. The Kings get Jang, Tyus Jones, and a first round pick. The Timberwolves stay under, I think they add like $200,000 in salary there, and you can trim that later on in the season. You could probably add another player to this deal, but they evade the tax line this year. I believe I set it up with that deal, and then you're getting rid of Jang's deal, still the 3 first round picks, and Gordon, at least you can talk yourself into him helping you now. It's just still Shumpert, a wing. You need wings. It's just still such a... This has to happen after Halloween, by the way. It's just still such a... That seems like such an underwhelming return, even with those picks.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. And one thing that stood out is that Halloween deadline. I wonder if they'll wait a few more days to open up stuff like that, and then... I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Tibbs just maintains his stubbornness and waits till December 15th when a bunch more people open up. And then I'm not really going to stick with my hot take from a couple episodes ago that he lasts the whole season. given who's in charge of some of these packages, I would not be stunned if he just let it go the entire year.
Last question to end on this. It doesn't even need an explanation. If Jimmy Butler, if a team comes out of nowhere to outbid or come close to outbidding the Heat and Rockets, which team is it?
I guess the Clippers. That's the only one that, and maybe the Nets are still involved. I don't know. I think it's down to those two.
Well, if Houston's offering 4 first round picks, it sure seems like it's down to those two. What if the Pelicans were just like, F it, and came in with an offer of a pick, Etuan Moore, Nikola Mirotic, knowing that they have Julius Randle?
That's interesting, too. Interesting.
I hope I don't make Pelicans fans mad. Mirotic has been spectacular.
He's been incredible. And I think he's very, very good. But and he's certainly more durable, too, I would think, at this point in their careers. But that would definitely be an interesting thing. I've got a roll though. Anything else we want to hit before we go?
Do you have a prediction about how this Jimmy Butler thing is going to end? Is it going to be in Houston or Miami or Minnesota?
I'm going to say Houston on February 5th.
If this thing drags out right until the trade deadline, wow.
I'm picturing the Tom Thibodeau laughing gif right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to predict Jimmy Butler to the Pelicans now. So it'd be fun to watch him play with Anthony Davis. Can I will that into existence or no?
Please do. If you have any gripes about our takes in today's episode, you can find Dan on Twitter at Dan Favale, F-A-V-A-L-E. I'm at Andrew D. Bailey. The show's at Hardwood Knox. The sponsor is at NBA_math. As always, we encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe. And if you've already done that, please share with a friend or relative, and until next time, we leave you with the shout out to Ben Oudry
and Kyle Anderson.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs, introducing the new Firehouse Pub Steak Sub with savory steak, crispy fried onions, and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce on tap for a limited time. Order yours at firehousesubs.com today. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.